We began a series last week. We're going to continue it. We're doing our Christmas series, and it's a little bit different because we're not talking about the baby Jesus. In fact, you know, we have a tendency, like a camera, to focus in on the birth, which there's nothing wrong with that. And then in the spring, we focus in on the resurrection. Sometimes we need to pan the camera out and see the whole story. And so there's a whole lot more to it than him being born, which is important, and him being raised from the dead, which is really important. But being able to see the whole story makes you know just how important his virgin birth and his resurrection is to us as believers. We're going to go to two openings today. If you got your Bibles and want to flip through and can see in the dark, if not, look up here overhead. We're going to go to John 10 and Psalms 100. So, last week we talked about Jesus using the term, I am. And he said, he told the people he was talking to, he says, before Abraham was, I am. That don't sound like good English, but it made the point. In fact, it made them mad because what he was saying is, I am God. That's what he was saying. When you see me, you're seeing God. Before Abraham was, I am. And that's a tie back to his Old Testament name. When Moses was being sent into to deliver the children, he says, what am I going to tell them? What's your name? And he says, I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you. So when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, then they knew what he was saying, so that he is God. So we're going to look at one of the I am verses today, found in John chapter 10 in verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now this, you know, the shepherd-sheep relationship is something that might be a little blind to us. I mean, I have not seen any shepherds in a long time. And I hadn't seen any sheep in a long time. We're not a shepherd-sheep society here. We're more like cows and, you know, that. But we're not shepherd-sheep. And but we're gonna draw some parallels here. But I want to read Psalms 100. This is a beautiful psalm that's filled with things that ought to make you want to rejoice. And that's what this series is about, is that we are celebrating Christmas. We're celebrating the reason that we have a reason to celebrate. But we're going to learn some things too as we go. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with... You know, it's scriptural to sing. Why do y'all sing? Because it's in the Bible. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Boy, we need to know that. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Did you know what? Did you know you was an animal? The Bible says you're a what? Look at your neighbor and say, you're a sheep. You're either a sheep or a goat or a... So you're a sheep. We're the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with, and into His courts with. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. I tell you what, that ought to just excite your heart today. You know, read the scripture sometime. Read some of these things and say, boy, you know what? He's talking about me. He's talking about me. We want to look at some things today. We're going to look at sheep, and then we're going to look at a shepherd. And so we're going to do some sheep stuff first, since we are the sheep of His pasture. And so if there are some comparisons to be made, then we probably compare to sheep a whole lot. And I'm not here to insult you today. I'm just drawing some comparisons. And if they fit, wear the shoe, okay? But let me give you some sheep facts. Number one, sheep have a natural tendency to wander off and get lost. They do. That's why we need a shepherd. And we're like that too. We have a tendency sometimes to wander off and get lost. We get distracted sometimes. We get drawn away sometimes. We get so focused on some things in life that we forget about what's supposed to be important in our lives. And the first thing you know, we've wandered off and we're lost. We just kind of look this way and, you know, there's the shepherd and there's the sheep right there. And we're looking over here. We got this distraction and we're wandering over here. In a minute, we look up. There's no shepherd and there's no sheep. And we're lost. Now, what causes that? One of the things that causes that is the lust of the flesh. We're easily drawn by the lust of the flesh. And I know what most people think when you say the lust of the flesh, but it could be lots of different things. Things that look desirable. You know, for Eve, it was a fruit. It was fruit that where the enemy said, you know, if you eat this fruit, you're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil, and you're going to have special wisdom. And so there's this allurement of the flesh that causes us to be distracted. You know, I think distraction is a big, big thing that the enemy uses in our lives. Many times we just get busy. You ever get busy? I, you don't see them at church for a while, and I say, well, boy, we missed you. I've been busy. If you're not careful, that becomes a distraction in your life. And the first thing you know, you look up and you feel lost. Now, you're not lost. I mean, God knows where you're at, but maybe you don't know where you're at. Maybe you don't realize what's going on in your life, and you're just... You know, is this a southern word? Discombobulated. You know, you're kind of discombobulated, and you don't know where you are, and you don't have a sense of God being very close or something. You know, there's this old saying: if God seems far away, guess who moved? It wasn't him. It was thee. It was you that moved. So there's an allurement of the flesh, and you know the Bible tells us in Romans 8:8. It says, "So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." We cannot please God by allowing our flesh to dictate our actions. It could be sexual. It could be, you know, the pursuit of something that distracts you from your purpose in life. And by the way, if you don't know what your purpose in life is, it's to bring glory to God. You exist for His pleasure. Creation exists not for you. Creation exists for His pleasure. And you're part of His creation, and you exist for His pleasure. And He pleasures in loving you. He pleasures in revealing Himself to you. He pleasures in adding beauty to your life. I mean, it's not that God is this selfish individual that needs our adoration in order for him to feel good about himself. If anything's true, we need his affirmation so that we can feel good about ourselves. But God doesn't need that. God has no need of anything. God doesn't need you. He wants you. And he wants to be in a relationship with you. But many times we allow the allurements of the flesh to draw us away. The second thing would be the pride of life. John chapter 2 verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So that talks about three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And a lot of that has to do with thriving in life. And we get so caught up with thriving in life. We have to pay bills, and we have to work, and if we're not careful, we get caught up into that, and we get this kind of ideal that we don't have to let God be a part of that, that we can kind of do that on our own. After all, I'm pretty talented. After all, I'm pretty gifted. And I'm pretty smart, and I've got a lot of wisdom. So God, if I need your help, I'll ask for it. That's pride. Did you know it? See, pride has to do with you thinking that you can do something apart from God. You are not called to do anything apart from your relationship with God. You're called to thrive in your relationship with Him. And He causes life to take care of you. He orchestrates that. But you know, we get caught up in pride and think we can do that. We can. And you know what? You can if you want to. But you know what? You'll not be fulfilled. There'll be an emptiness on the inside of you. There'll be a disconnection. You know why? Because you're doing it at the expense of your relationship with Christ. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to be the one who guides your life. He's the one that wants to do that. Another thing that has to do with this area of sheep wandering is that we pursue self-remedies. And just it's kind of what I was talking about right now, that we can do things apart from Him. That we can do things our way. He has a way. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. We do it our ways, and if, you know, our ways, and we don't need Him, and we'll kill it if we're not careful, because we're not doing it in relationship with Him. He wants everything to be having to do with relationship with Him. And, you know, then there is this pursuing self-righteousness. And we get caught up in this mode of life. And we rather than developing our righteousness that's in Him, we set up our own mental thing about righteousness. Well, you know what? If I do good things and I treat people right, then I'll be okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. We do good. We're okay. And we get away from grace. Listen, we need grace. You have a tendency to depart. You have a tendency to stray. You have a tendency to get lost. We need grace. Thank God for works. Thank God for good things. We did some good works last night in here. We hosted the Sheriff's Christmas party last night, and we had some guys that cooked and some ladies that served and cleaned, and you know, we had a good time. But you know what? That didn't make us more righteous. That didn't make us more righteous. We'll be rewarded for that, but it didn't make us more righteous. See, if we're not careful, we get into this mode of self-righteousness. And God doesn't want us in the mode of self-righteousness. He wants us in a mode of grace and faith. And we have a tendency to stray from that and get in our ideals that I'm building me some righteousness here. No, you're not building. The moment that you got saved, you will never be more righteous than you were right then. Because righteousness is apart from your good works. Your good works should be the result of your right standing with God. You don't work in order to get righteous. So, but if we're not careful, even as Christians, we get caught up in that thing. And you know what happens? We begin to stray from our relationship with God. See, if I can do it without Him, why do I need Him? If I can do it without Him, why do I need Him? I can't do it without Him. I can't do it without Him. I can't do it right. The second aspect of sheep is that sheep are basically helpless. Are you saying I'm helpless? Yeah, we're kind of like sheep. See, here's the thing. Sheep don't see well. They have poor eyesight. We're kind of the same way. Did you know it? You know why? Because you can't see the future. You don't know what's in the future. You don't know what's around the curve for your life. But thank God we are in relationship with one who knows eternity. And who better to trust with your future, with your life, than the one who has the perspective of eternity? we have, the Bible says that we see through a glass darkly. We just see a little bit. He sees it all. And because we are so short-sighted, we tend to make dumb decisions. Isn't that true? You ever made a, has anybody ever made a dumb decision? Yeah, some of you. The rest of you are perfect and have arrived and have no need of this message whatsoever. No, we've all goofed up, hadn't we? We've all messed up. Sheep don't hear well. Sometimes we don't hear well either, do we? How many times does God have to say something to you till it dawns on your lightning fast mind? I'm talking about me too. I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about all of us. Oh, you know, Jesus kept saying to his disciples, and again I say unto you, and again I say unto you. Aren't you glad that God just doesn't talk one time, and if you got it, you got it, and if you didn't, you're sunk? He is patient, and we have a tendency not to hear, and then when we have a tendency, when we hear it, we have a tendency not to listen. I know he said that, but then we're like goats. Goats are always butting. I know God said that, but I know God said that I was supposed to give or serve or whatever, but my situation. You know, God took that into account when he said for you to do what you do. We don't need but religion. That's goat-like. We need to be sheep. We need to hear. We need to listen. Sheep have no natural weapons to protect themselves. Do you know that? They don't have any claws. They don't have sharp teeth. They depend on the shepherd for their protection. And we're the same way. You know, one of the reasons that God gave us weapons, see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, because we're not equipped naturally to fight the battles that we need to fight. It comes through our relationship with Him. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. What's up with that? The third thing about sheep that's interesting is that they're very hard to train. Do you know what most Christians hate? It's discipleship. You know why? We don't want to study. We don't want to read. And we don't want to change. Isn't that true? We're going to get off the sheep and get on the shepherd here in a minute. That'll be better. But you need to see how much we are like sheep. We don't like change. Now, we like the results of change, but we don't want to have to change our attitudes. We don't want to have to change our practices. We don't want to have to change our habits. We don't want to have to repent. We don't want to have to turn around. We don't want to have to listen, because we like the flesh. Amen. We do. So, sheep are hard to train, and people are hard to train. One of the greatest things that we struggle with in this church is discipleship. And it's true in every church. Amen. Okay. The fourth thing is that sheep are easily frightened and easily confused. Do you want to see people get stirred up? The rumor that your business, your factory, is going out of business. They're going to lay off. What happens to people when that happens? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to go broke. I'm going to come get everything I got. And the people begin to talk. And the more they talk, the more agitated they get. And then they start getting confused. You know, anytime, did you notice that anytime there's controversy over anything, the different things that are said that have no basis in fact whatsoever is rampant. I could name something that is very close, but I won't, because it was a very hot issue in this area not long ago that we voted on. And I heard some things that were just totally off the wall. They had no foundation of truth whatsoever. But when things like that start happening, people get, they get afraid, they get confused, they start talking, and it gets in the panic mode. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Sheep are that way. That's why we need a shepherd. Because we have a tendency. You know, sheep can get so confused. Now I'm talking about sheep now. And they'll follow one another down a confused path. And sheep have been known to run off a cliff, one following the other to their own destruction. How are we any different? Some controversy gets stirred up, some strife gets stirred up, and people get stirred up, and they'll make the dumbest decisions that they'll ever make in their lives. Sheep, people, us, duh. That's enough about sheep. Let's talk about shepherds. Let's talk about a shepherd. There's some famous shepherds in the Bible. One was Abraham. In fact, many of the greatest leaders, before they led people, they led sheep. Why? Because people are so much like sheep. So there was Abraham. And then there was his son Jacob, who was a shepherd, who became Israel, who was the leader of the nation of Israel. They were shepherds. And then there was Moses. Moses spent years shepherding sheep before he ever went into Egypt to bring the children of Israel out. You know why? Because the people, the children of Israel, acted like sheep that he had to bring out. King David was a shepherd, became the leader of the nation. And then even Amos the prophet was a shepherd. Now, you know, when we think of shepherds, we kind of think of guys in bathrobes and those little turbans on their head. And after the play last week, maybe a guy with his underwear on the outside of his pants. Now, if you were not at the play, that won't mean anything to you, but that's not a true picture of what a shepherd looks like. In fact, we were in Israel a couple years ago, and we saw some shepherds. And I didn't see a bathrobe, and I didn't see a shepherd's crook, and I didn't see a turban on the head, and I definitely didn't see any underwear on the outside. Okay? They looked like normal people. But in years ago, 5,000 years ago, a lot of times the shepherds didn't marry because they lived with the sheep. They didn't have time because they lived with the sheep. They gave their life for the sheep. Isn't that interesting? And how Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That tells us something about the nature of God. That tells us about the nature of God. That God sacrificed so that we could have a relationship with Him. And we can rejoice in that today. Amen. We can rejoice in that because our shepherd gave Himself for us. In fact, John 10:7. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and come out and find pasture. In those early days, what the shepherds would do is they would build rock fences, an enclosure with an opening that was left open. And what they would do is when they would bring the sheep in from pasture, they would bring them inside that closure, and that shepherd would set in that doorway to guard the sheep. It kept them from wandering. It kept them enclosed. It kept them protected. And Jesus says, when he says, I am the door or I am the gate, they understood what he was talking about. He is the one who guarded the sheep. And that's what he does. And that's the relationship that he wants to have with us as the sheep of his pasture. He wants to be totally committed and involved in our lives. That's good. That's good to know. That is great to know. You know, something else is going to be good to know. We discovered this last week, is that he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. That's good stuff. What does a shepherd do? I want to give you a list of things, and this comes out of the 23rd Psalm. Then I'm going to read a poem that's based on the 23rd Psalm. Number one is he provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Message Bible says, I don't have any need of anything. Because he is our provider. What does he provide for us? Let me just tell you, everything. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, social, whatever it is that we need. He wants to be our provider. He says, I don't need a thing. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. You know, that ought to take the stress out of life. That ought to take the stress out of life. When we know that we can trust the good shepherd to provide everything that we need in life. Are we ever challenged? I mean, does your finances ever run out before the end of the month? Do you ever hear rumblings of things that don't look good or see things that don't look good and fear comes against you? Listen, when we realize that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. We ought to have great comfort in that. That's a promise. It's not a statement of fact, it's a promise. Now, we have a response to the shepherd, okay? But he provides. Number two, he leads. Where does he lead? The Bible says that he leads us by the still waters. You know what that is? That's the quiet place where we can be rested and refreshed and enjoy our relationship with him. Then it says that he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Where does he lead us? He leads us in the way that we should go. He leads us in a lifestyle of righteousness. He wants to grow us in the fruits of righteousness so that our lives can reflect our relationship with him. You know, one of the greatest complaints that outsiders have about Christians is that their lifestyles are inconsistent. They proclaim to be righteous, but they're no different than anybody that doesn't know Christ. Can I just tell you, something is wrong. Something is wrong if we have no fruit in our lives. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about fruit. If you're an apple tree, bless God, you ought to have some apples on the tree or some blooms or something. So he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, I'll get to that. Let me preach. Well, I'll get to it. Then he goes on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now what? That means that even when you are in the hard times, He still leads us. And then, as Rochelle asked the question, what is the next thing He does? He restores. He restores our soul. That's our mind, our will, our emotions. He restores us from our hurts and habits and hang-ups. Has anybody got any of those? Yeah, all of you do. Me too. He is the restorer, the refresher, and restores. Then He's ever-present. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You won't have to go this journey alone. You know what happens? You know, we see this in the Bible. The story of the shepherd who had 100 sheep and 99 were there and one was lost. What did the shepherd do? He pursued the lost sheep. You didn't find God. God found you. You didn't look for God. God came after you. See, He does that. That's kind of what He does. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. If God seems far away, guess who moved? It wasn't God, it was us. But He never gives up. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. Then it says that He comforts us. He comforts us. We need comfort because we get agitated, we get fearful, we get confused, especially when we're not looking at the things that we need to be looking at. We get all drawn away. But you know what? His Holy Spirit has been sent to bring comfort in our lives that we need. See, we can celebrate that today. This baby that came in the manger didn't just come to live and die. He came to live and to die and raise again to become a vital part of your life and your relationship with Him. Then the sixth thing is that He prepares for us. Prepares. The ideal there is that He has what we need before we'll need it. He says He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. You know, that might be physical things that He gives us. But even greater than that, He says, He told His disciples before He left, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. He says, you know what? If I go away, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself that where I am, you may be also. He prepares our eternity for us. It's all inclusive. Then I like number 7 because it says surely. That's a covenant term. That's not a iffy term. He says, because these things are true, surely. See, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you. You know what He was saying? Surely, surely, I say unto you. This is one of those terms. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Wow. See, this is describing a relationship that we can have with the Good Shepherd. This describes a relationship that we can have with our Father God through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have this relationship with Him where goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. I need His goodness, and listen, I need His mercy. Don't you? What's our response to that? We have a response. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, we need to choose Him. Your shepherd is faithful to you. You need to be faithful to Him. Don't be up and down. Don't be in and out. Be faithful. pursue a lifestyle of faithfulness. You know, does a marriage work when you're 50% faithful? I mean, you sleep with your wife 50% of the time and somebody else is 50%. I mean, is that going to work? Ladies, is that going to work? How many of you going to put up with that? I didn't see a hand go up. Usually one goes up. No. Women are narrow-minded about that kind of stuff. Good for you. Why would we treat God any different? If we're faithful to God, we're going to be faithful to His house. We're going to be faithful to the people of God. Now I got quiet when I talk like that. Oh, I'm faithful to the Lord. I love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, follow me. All right. So our response is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. See, that's our response. The shepherd don't take a stick and beat us into submission. We have to choose to follow. We do it His way. He's the one that leads. We're not in control of the relationship. We give Him control of the relationship. And you know what He does? He takes care of us. Isn't that good? He takes care of us. I want to close. I want to read a poem that's based on the 23rd Psalm. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. You know, maybe you're here today and you've never responded to the grace of God. Maybe you've never come into the sheepfold. Maybe you've not come through Christ, who is the gate, into a relationship with Him. You can do that today. We got people that can pray with you about that. I don't want to ever assume that everybody here knows Christ. If you're here today and you need to pray with someone, they'll be glad to you. Maybe you've strayed. Maybe you need to come back. Maybe you just need to publicly repent before God. You can do that today. After I read this poem, we're going to pray. And as we do that, whatever your need is today, come and let them pray with you today. My shepherd, you supply my need. Most holy is your name. In pastures fresh, you make me feed beside the living stream. You bring my wandering spirit back when I forsake your ways. You lead me for your mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. When through the shades of death I walk, your presence is my stay. One word of your supporting breath drives all my fears away. Your hand in sight of all my foes does still my table spread. My cup with blessing overflows. Your oils anoint my head. Your sure provisions, gracious God, attend me all my days. Oh, may your house be my abode and all my work be praise. Here would I find a settled rest while others go and come. No more a stranger nor a guest, but like a child at home. Let's pray. Father, thank you today. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you that you are the great shepherd. We are your sheep. Lord, even though we stray, we can come. We can come and be restored. We can come and submit our lives to you. Lord, thank you for this relationship that you offer us today. Be glorified today, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.